I'm just going to share a few thoughts this morning on missions and the importance of praying for missions and giving to missions. We'll be using the text from our responsive reading, so if you still have your hymnal close by, you may want to follow along on responsive reading number 712. But first I'm going to share with you one of my favorite missions quotes from one of a well-known missionary. Many of us know Jim Elliot, and this is what he said, and again, it touches our hearts, and it gives us a good perspective. Jim Elliot says, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Many of us are familiar with the story of Jim Elliot, how in the 1950s, he and a team of missionaries traveled down to Ecuador to reach a people group that had not been reached before. It was a challenge. Some people encouraged him not to try that because these people that had not yet heard the gospel were a dangerous people with a reputation of not welcoming outsiders. But Jim Elliot and his wife, Elizabeth, and his other team, they were committed, and so they took the risk because they had a sense of the importance of taking that risk, of reaching out with the gospel. They understood that there had been many people who had taken the great risk to share the gospel, and that the fruits of the gospel need to be taken to all men. And so the story of Jim Elliot, I think the book is called Through Gates of Splendor, and it's a wonderful story, and the missionary work that he did was good. Now, if you've been watching the news, you know that there has been, in recent days, another individual who had a similar commitment and desire. This is a gentleman that just a short time ago lost his life as he was reaching out to a group of people, the Sentinelese people, that live on an island off the coast of India. It was a people group like the people group that Jim Elliot had visited that was known for being unwelcoming to those outside. But this is John Allen Chow, and he, as a young man, knew the dangers. People had told him, "You should not do that. That's just taking your own life into your hands." But he had this sense that God would have him do this. He had this sense of desiring that all people would know the story of Jesus. And so if you've watched the news, you may have read or heard reports about how he wrote letters to his mom before he did this, knowing that this may be his last letter, and then putting his life on the line and reaching out, probably with the same heart that Jim Elliot had. So, do we have that heart for missions? Are we willing to lay it on the line? Are we willing to give all that we can give and pray fervently for missions? It's so important. God would have us to take the gospel to all the world. One of the reasons I selected this passage that I mentioned before was so many of these passages are from the Apostle Paul. And we've been talking about the Apostle Paul quite a bit. And we see that the Apostle Paul had this heart of taking the gospel to places where the gospel had not yet gone. In fact, one of the things that Paul says in Romans is that he did not want to preach where others had already preached, but he wanted to preach the gospel where no one had gone before, pushing the envelope, taking the gospel to all corners of the globe. One of the passages we looked at in our Acts study was Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that's what we're doing. We want to be those who would bring the gospel right here at home. Those who would bring the gospel to the nations of the world. So, Again, take your hymnal, if you would, turn to number 712. The first passage is from the prophet Isaiah. Larry read a passage this morning about Isaiah, or Sandy did, and it is a reminder that Isaiah the prophet was one who foretold the coming of Christ. He was also a prophet who foretold the fact that God's message of salvation was to go to all peoples. Our opening passage is from Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah writes, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." So often when you read in the Old Testament passages about the kings, many times it's passages of subjection. The kings will all come and bow down here. They'll all be subject to us. One day they'll all move to Zion and bow down and recognize that God is king. But you notice that the feel, the flavor of this particular passage is not about all the nations coming under subjection. All the nations recognizing that they have been defeated, but rather it's all the nations coming to the light. Coming into the light. There's a real sense in which this is a message of light. It is the gospel light. And that when we share that with the nations, we are blessing the nations. The kings are drawn to the brightness of thy rising. Our second passage here is, "As thy, my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Now, this is a passage where I think the broader context or the broader passage would help us. This particular passage comes from the first meeting of Jesus in his resurrection to his disciples. They were a little bit frightened at first, not expecting that he would be standing in front of them. So when he comes to them, he brings a message of encouragement, a message of peace, and also a charge to share the gospel with all people. Let me read for you the broader passage from John chapter 20, beginning in verse 21. Again, remember, this is the first resurrection appearance of Jesus to his disciples. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were a little troubled and frightened that Jesus was standing in front of them. And then he says to them, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." It's a common theme. Matthew has the Great Commission where Jesus sends his disciples into all the world to make disciples of all nations. We've been looking at Acts, which is the continuation of Luke's gospel. Luke says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Here, John is writing the same message, but writing it slightly differently. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then verse 22, "And with that he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit." We saw in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit empowered the early believers to fulfill that ministry that Jesus had called them to. John says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he says something interesting in verse 23. Again, I'm reading from my Bible. It's not in our responsive reading. But it says, "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." I've mentioned that many have seen this passage as a parallel passage to the other Gospels. And if that is the case, then what we see here is this is a continuation of that theme of preaching the gospel to all nations. Again, the other gospel writer says, "I'm sending you, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and I am sending you out to share the gospel." John says the same thing. "I am sending you, I am breathing on you the Holy Spirit." And then he has the passage about, "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. That is a charge to preach. Because what are we preaching? We are preaching a message of redemption. We're preaching a message of forgiveness. Which means, if we proclaim that gospel message, people will know the forgiveness that comes from responding to the gospel. If we do not preach the gospel message, if we do not send people out to proclaim the gospel message, we are, in essence, withholding forgiveness from them. We are not allowing them to enjoy the forgiveness that God would give to them if we do not share the gospel message with them. Again, if you forgive anyone his sins, if you tell people about the forgiveness that's available to them, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, if you do not tell them about the forgiveness that is available to them, they are not forgiven. If you have enjoyed the forgiveness of God, we are compelled to tell others about that same forgiveness so that they too can be forgiven and restored in their relationship with God. Turning back to our responsive reading, the next passage, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Again, if we were to look at the broader passage in Galatians, we would see that what Paul is talking about here is the notion that we are all to be found in Christ, and that when we are found in Christ, we are all children of God. In fact, let me read this verse 29 of this larger Galatians passage. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You are part of that promise given through Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Romans chapter 10, the next passage in our responsive reading, it's a passage that we have looked at numerous times. It's a passage that speaks so much to the importance of sending out missionaries. Let me read for you again, Romans chapter 10, 13 through 15. Paul writes these words, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless without someone preaching to them? And here's the part where it comes to us. It's our part in this process from Romans 10. And how can they preach unless they are sent? So Paul in this passage is talking about how all peoples can be saved by simply calling out on the name of the Lord. But then he goes through the steps for that process to take place. And the first step, which he does in reverse order, obviously, the first step is that preachers are to be sent. That's what we're doing when we have our focus on Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We are sending missionaries. We, in essence, are part of that missions team, supporting them with our prayers, supporting them with our giving. We are sending out missionaries. And when we send out missionaries, we begin the chain that ends with all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One of the things we looked at earlier in the service was that wonderful children's wing of the medical missions from Larry and Sally Pepper. And you'll discover this, I think, about day 7 or 8, that whole wing of the child's medical service was provided by a church back home, praying, supporting, supplying that wing of the hospital. Those children could not be served as they are being served if it were not for people praying and giving and supporting. We are sending out missionaries. The final passage here in our reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God doth beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. It's a wonderful passage, so much there. Paul is recognizing that God, all things are from God. That's the first opening line, all things are from God. The reconciliation is from God. The ministry of reconciliation, that's from God as well. We've talked about the gospel message so often that we ourselves, left to ourselves, would be lost and continue to be lost. But God took the initiative. God reached out to us. God saved us. God brought us back into a proper relationship with himself. He asks of us now, as those who have received that blessing of a restored relationship, to now engage in that ministry of reconciliation, to be an ambassador for Christ, to see ourselves as those who would bring that message of reconciliation to other people. I love the way that it closes here. Paul says, we pray you in Christ's stead. In other words, we are serving as that ambassador, which is representing another. An ambassador is one who represents a king or represents a nation elsewhere. And so they don't speak of their own authority. They speak in behalf of the sending agent, if you will. Paul says, we pray you in Christ's stead, in other words, being that good ambassador, be ye reconciled to God. That's the message of the missionaries who go out under the International Mission Board. That's the message of the missionaries that go out under the Home Mission Board. Be ye reconciled to God. That should be our message to our neighbors, our co-workers, those around us who have not yet enjoyed that reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God. God says to us, I've restored our relationship. You need to tell others that I want to restore those relationships as well. I want you to go to be my ambassador, to engage in sharing with others the message of reconciliation that he has for us. So if we in this room have enjoyed the forgiveness that God has given to us, we need to tell others about that forgiveness. If we in this room have enjoyed the reconciliation with our Creator, he asks of us simply to share that ministry of reconciliation with others. Charge others, in the name of Christ, in the stead of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. We do that through our prayers, our prayer support of missionaries, our prayer support of those who would need to hear the gospel message. We do that through our giving and our support. Missionaries are able to do what they are able to do because of the prayers and the giving of every church back home. There's about 5,000 missionaries serving through the International Mission Board. That's 5,000 teams of people who need us to pray for them, need us to give to them and support them. Let's be those who have enjoyed forgiveness and want others to know that forgiveness. Let's be those who enjoy that reconciliation and want to be active participants in the ministry of reconciliation to others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. You have given to us so much, and that you have given us the opportunity to give back to others. Father, throughout this week, I would pray that we would be diligent in remembering each of the missionaries, each of the churches involved in this great endeavor, that we would pray throughout this week, giving this week over to a week of prayer for the mission field. I also would pray, Father, that we would have our hearts touched with the need of the gospel, the need and the plight of people around the world that do not know Jesus, and that we would be willing to give sacrificially to this work. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that we have enjoyed and the reconciliation that we know. Let us now share that and participate in that as the whole world would come to know the forgiveness that you have for them, and the whole world would have the opportunity to be restored in their relationship with their Creator. Father, let us be part of that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.